Pickaxe.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Triforce Podcast, 2020 Triforce Podcast. Welcome back. Hey, P-Flex, how you doing?
Doing all right.
How you doing, Sips?
Serenity now!
I got a Serenity Now button for Christmas.
It's, I love that. I love
Frank
that.
Costanza. It only makes one sound, and that's Serenity Now. So
I love. I was thinking about Serenity Now in the lift yesterday.
Yeah.
When I was stuck in there, and I was like just looking at myself in the mirror, just like thinking, man, do you reckon? Like, okay, here you go. Here's my question about Serenity Now. So Serenity Now is from Seinfeld.
Yeah.
It's obviously written by Larry David.
Yeah.
And very much like the character.
Not necessarily true, by the way. A lot of the episodes were written by not Larry David and Jerry Seinfeld. Any show of that length,
true.
Especially American. Has writers, and like the Soup Nazi episode wasn't written by them.
I think they had a really tight knit team of writers that they worked with a lot, and
they did.
Gave ideas to and experiences to and stuff.
Yeah, but I think sometimes the memorable stuff, some of the I certainly remember a lot of these moments where you're like, you know, where Larry David is like being told, oh, you know, this is unrealistic, this didn't happen, you know, this couldn't ever happen.
Yeah.
And then he says, well, this actually happened to me. That's why,
right.
You know, it's why it's in here.
Yeah.
Anyway, I get the impression that like sort of, you know, Larry David is of the sort of ilk where there were people doing this kind of new age kind of stuff back in the day where things like Serenity Now is a sort of one way to deal with like stress. You know, I could imagine some guy living on a riverboat like Alan Watts style in, you know, like kind of like Guru to the Stars, you know, in the 90s.
Yeah.
And Larry David crossing paths with him and just thinking he's just a fucking really annoying guy.
Yeah.
Like who gives that kind of advice. So anyway, Serenity Now, for some reason I always just sometimes think of that like as a,
I mean, the funniest part of it is that he yells it.
Yeah.
Like that's he always yells it.
Well, because he's so frustrated, right? Like it's like a meant to be a mechanism to calm himself down after he gets like annoyed or stressed out or whatever, but he's always in this like state of like utter fucking, you know, misery or stress. So he has to scream it instead of like just say it.
He's just about to pop.
It's a great moment.
So yeah,
it's great. Great.
If you haven't watched Seinfeld and Curb Your Enthusiasm, I recommend.
Yeah. Big thanks to our sponsors, Seinfeld, for today's podcast. We weren't even going to do the podcast until Seinfeld reached out and they were like, hey, we'll sponsor you guys to do one last one. We're like, yeah, okay, sure. I mean, I'm sure we'd get the band back together
it's
for that.
New thing. Yeah. It's a new thing for 2020.
Yeah.
So how are you guys doing? How you feeling? You feeling good in the new year?
I survived. Yeah, I survived Christmas 2019. I'm happy to say I took down all my decorations before the 6th of January as well. It was pretty nice. Everybody,
that's good luck.
Everybody got sick over the holidays. Like flu or anything. Just, you know, just the usual colds and shit like that. So everybody was feeling like a bit tender, and I ate way too much over the break. A couple times I felt like I was actually going to be sick from eating. I wasn't though, luckily.
Close.
Yeah, very close, very close. Yeah, lots of heartburn and just lots of like, lots of waking up in the middle of the night with like what felt like a basketball in my stomach, like, you know, like slowly inflating and making my do you ever get that? I don't know. It's like gas buildup or something on top of like the mountain of food that you've eaten. It's like, it's the worst.
It's like a volcano.
I think a lot of vegetables might, like, I know you guys eat a lot of vegetables. So I think that
a lot of chips and cheese.
Yeah, it's true.
But when they're digesting in your stomach, I guess, you know, there's maybe a lot of vapor and gas gets released.
Yeah,
it can happen.
Could be.
Oh, can I just say it's lovely hearing the bird song.
Yeah, that is nice. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's out your window. When I'm streaming, people always say, you know, do you live in like a nature trail or a protected parkland? Or so? It's like, no,
No, it's just Twickenham.
It's just Twickenham.
It's just a tree.
It's just Twickenham.
It's a tree. That's it. But the tree wasn't there when we moved in. And you know, the Russian spy house, this is an old Triforce staple that is behind me, where I have not seen movement for a very long time now.
Right.
And in fact, their entire rear of their house, which is like one of those extension, you know, it's like they've extended the kitchen out And so it's like the patio doors with the flat roof above it, you know, that kind of extension.
What a coincidence, because my entire rear has extended out after the holidays as well. Yeah.
But is yours covered in trees and bushes like theirs is? Because you can't see out of their back windows anymore. Like, it's completely covered in plants. Plants have completely grown up the side
I respect
of them
that. Over I, the I roof. Think privacy is a great thing. And I think in this day and age, too. You live really close
you
to people.
Curtains,
yeah. I think bush it up. I think, you know, obscure your whole
Bring
house
back the bush.
In a wall of bushes and hedges and stuff.
Yeah,
I agree.
Well, something's going on here.
Yeah.
They let weeds grow in the garden to the point where when we first moved in, there was no tree. And we've been here long enough now, there is a tree in their back garden. It's still a young tree,
yeah,
but there is a tree,
you know what,
so the
though?
Birds
like,
love it.
There's a lot of people get flack for that, for letting like too many weeds like grow. You know, people that like, you ever have like a neighbor or somebody on your road who just never like mows their grass? There's fucking like tall grass and weeds and stuff,
yeah.
And they're hoarders, so like their house is full of shit and stuff,
yeah,
and like and like they don't look like they take very good care of themselves and stuff like that. When you think about it, honestly, it's like the perfect home defense system.
Yeah, because you're gonna break into
nobody's gonna fucking home raid you, are they? Like, true. They're gonna see your front lawn, they're gonna be like, that looks treacherous, I'm not fucking navigating that. And then only to then get into your house and realize, holy crap, this place is full of junk. Like, we would never find the diamond necklace and the rubies in this. It's like finding a needle in a haystack.
Yeah.
So actually, I think it's a big brain play to be a hoarder and leave your front lawn to get like all shitty.
Honestly,
and stuff.
It is, right? These days, you get some estate agent, some posh woman, she'd be like, let me show you around this lovely, ecologically friendly house that where we have let the front and back gardens go to wilderness area to help the local wildlife. Inside, there is a treasure trove of goodies. There's an escape room. You know, you have to navigate the small tunnels. We've done it to make it feel big, you know, but it's actually...
Watch out for the foot traps.
If you wish to see the back garden, we will need to prepare an expedition. Now, there are local guides available, but we do not have the provisions to make it to the bottom of the back garden.
That'll be, I could see their cogs in their heads turning. It's like...
Oh, man.
Fucking hell, a streamer probably lives there. I mean, when I had a back garden, I never fucking did anything with it. Just let it go all messy.
Yeah.
No, this is not just messy. This is literally wild land.
You know, like girl streamers? I'm not being
yeah,
sexist.
I think you
or,
are by just
anything.
Calling
no, no.
them
okay, but,
girl
no, no, but,
streamers.
Okay, girl streamers, some guys as well, okay? But girl streamers especially, I find, because like you can imagine... You know, like you get a shot of like their, if they have a webcam but no green screen, you can see like the room that they're in and stuff. And like it's always like nicely lit and decorated and there's like fluffy toys and you can like see part of their bed sometimes and stuff. And you imagine it like smells really nice in there and stuff.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It just looks like a nice place, right? Fuck, it'd be so funny if like if you went to their house and the rest of their house was just like fucking disaster. Like there's just like all this like a fucking ring of junk, like
just off camera.
And there's just this cleared away space just for the webcam. Like, but the rest of the place is just like this fucking, there's like fucking dirty ass dishes with like, you know, like dried up ketchup
on
them.
You're describing my office.
Fucking
right
cigarette
now.
Butts like in the armrest, their couch and stuff. And like, oh man.
I've got two old cups of tea, a plate from yesterday, a couple of empty cans of cider, and a load of boxes for things that I opened. And I've still got the boxes because that's a very, very dad thing to do, I think, is you open something. Oh, don't throw the box away. I don't know why I have that impulse now.
Oh my God. Why
to
do you
keep
have that
the
impulse?
Box. I don't know. I have the boxes. Like, I bought a Mrs. F got me a Fitbit for like I say she got me. She bought it on my account. So it was, she fucking I actually paid for this,
right.
God damn it. Because it's handy for keeping track of my heart rate, and that's like helps me calm down a bit because I tend to panic about my heart quite often. If I can feel it beating at all, I'm like, oh my God, I'm having a heart attack. And then I look and I'm like, oh wait, I've got 78 BPM, which is like in the chill zone.
Right.
So yeah, it's weird, but it's actually helped me a lot. And I quite like seeing how few steps I do every day.
Yeah, you're trying to break like the reverse world record for like,
I might break 50 steps today. Yeah.
Yeah, the battery life on this thing is incredible. It barely has to work.
Well, you'll get good value out of it because the amount of exercise you do is, you know, minimal. So it never really has to like work overtime.
See, I think it should measure like wrist actions and then count the calories.
Well, I hope it doesn't. I mean,
mine's like turbo. Like, holy crap. I'd be like a fucking weightlifter, like a heavyweight champion of the world.
Oh, I thought you meant it would measure me. It was going to measure something else. Yeah. Stop that's masturbating. Beep, beep, beep. Wank alert. Oh, my Fitbit says I've got to stop tugging it quite so much. Okay.
Man, wouldn't you hate to just stop masturbating? Like, God.
Ugh.
That would be miserable, eh?
So, end of life. Welcome back, everyone. I read a story this morning on the news. I thought I should tell you this news because I read it. It was interesting.
Is it about that plane crash, the one that crashed in the Ukrainian Airlines one that
it's not.
Shot down? I think it was shot down.
It's much more uplifting. The family of a pair of miniature schnauzers were distraught when their dogs disappeared in thick fog while on a walk in the hills.
Right.
Okay. They thought they would never see Charlie and Theo again.
Right.
Okay.
Maybe they ran away because they hated their names.
Okay.
Like maybe that.
They launched a rescue campaign and contacted mountain rescue teams, friends and family.
Of course they did.
More than 120 people and two drones answered the call.
Right.
Answered the call. I like how...
The call to arms.
Two drones. Like,
it's like
they turned up.
It's like your,
we will assist
it's
you.
It's like your queue is popped waiting for battlegrounds in World of Warcraft or something. Like, two drones have queued for the battle and five housewives, one grandpappy.
It's a real mixed bag of fucking local fuckers. After 96 hours of searching, as a last resort, the family decided to return to the spot where the dogs were last seen and cook sausages. Okay.
Right.
They camped out overnight, calling the names of the dogs.
Uh-huh.
And in the morning, they were shocked and thrilled when, to the smell of sausages, their beloved pets appeared.
Right.
When they first appeared, it was like a mirage. I couldn't believe it was them, said Mrs. Hamson.
But did they just emerge from the mist that they were previously consumed by and lost in?
From the fog. I'm surprised they didn't have like tentacles coming out of them or like, you know,
what if they weren't the original
dogs?
Yeah,
they came back and we were so pleased to see them. But after a week, we noticed very, very strange behavioral changes in the dogs.
They could only be sated by the consumption of fresh blood.
Yes.
Preferably from a virgin. I don't use it.
The dog would
still their household. We love them.
Routinely
love them.
Stand up and stare at me in the night when I'd wake up in the middle of the night.
They had the power of flight and the ability to control other dogs with their minds.
Their eyes glow mysteriously.
I don't know if that's an uplifting story at all. Actually, I don't feel uplifted.
I haven't finished yet.
Oh, right, sorry.
My husband ran up the hill to grab them. As I was just shaking and crying, I could not function.
Right, I'm angry now.
The dogs are so gorgeous. They are part of our family. It would be horrible not to have them around. They absolutely love sausages. They have them every Sunday for breakfast. So if there was one food they were going to come back for, it was sausages. Now, I just love this story. Okay.
Right.
First of all, it's so British, right? First of all, that they're so attached to these dogs that they get 120 people involved, plus two drones, and camp out where they were last seen.
If you're ever wondering what your average Tory voter looks like, that story encapsulates
that's
them perfectly.
Oh my gosh, that is. Anyway, you know, I've seen a bunch of these things where some guy has gone on holiday or to France or whatever, his kid's gone missing. And 20 years later, he's still looking for his kid, right? Because he's obsessed with it. He can't kick that bucket, you know, and his life's gone to shit because of it. I can understand that. But when it's like your puppies, like I think people these days are so attached to their pets in the same way as their children. It's crazy. And I do get it. I'm just the level of effort here, like 96 hours of camping.
Right.
You know, when were they going to stop? You know, when was enough?
Until they found the mangled remains of their dogs and went on a further adventure to track down
a
bear that is loose in the English wilderness.
I got into an argument on Twitter a few months back where, you know, the way those people on Twitter post a thread, they always do this thread. It's okay to do blah, and don't let anyone tell you otherwise, blah, blah, blah. And there'll be loads of people going, yeah, woo. And I'm like, I didn't, like, everybody knows that. Like, you don't need to make, like, a bold statement. It's okay to not eat shit for breakfast. It's fine. Don't let anyone tell you you got to eat the poop sandwich at breakfast or lunchtime.
Preach it.
Or dinner time. And everyone's like, yes.
Yes, sister.
We got that. But, and I just ignore those. But then sometimes there's one saying, how dare you tell me that your kids are more important than my pets? And I was like, they clearly are. Like, I'm sorry, but they are definitely your pets are not as important as children.
Yeah, that's, well, your pets aren't going to contribute to the future of the human race. We're raising the next generation of people who are going to take care of all of our old asses and push the human race forward. Your pet is going to wipe his ass on the carpet, eat all of your food, and then die after like 15 years. So
let me ask you a question. If someone had a gun and said, I'm going to shoot this dog or I'm going to shoot you, you choose.
Yeah.
Is anyone going to say, take my life?
Yeah, of course they are. Nowadays, no. Fucking everybody. No. Yeah, everybody
You'd
will take
to
a
be
bullet
insane.
For a dog.
You would have to be insane.
I could
to do
live
that.
With myself if I let that dog die.
And here's another question for you. If you had kids, would you ever, ever choose the dog over your kids if there was the same situation? No.
No.
So there's clearly a rank. There's a pecking order. And the dog is worth less than a human being. I'm sorry, dog lovers. I'm sorry, cat lovers.
I don't think any of them will disagree with you, but I think they think that the pecking order is very, very close. Do you know what I mean? It's only a fraction of a millimeter below.
No, this person was like, no, you can't tell me that. I love my dog the same way you love your kids. I was like, no, you don't. Like, I've had kids and pets. And believe me, it's not even close.
This is like
the, I don't wake up in the night terrified about the thought that something will happen to my dog.
To Rufus.
But I do wake up terrified at the thought that something will happen to my kids.
Poor Captain Fluffy. I hope he's okay.
Oh God, what if he can't find his favorite chew toy? I'm sorry, it's not even close.
It's one of those things. It's something that the internet will have a war about till the end of time, because some people who don't have kids or can't have kids or whatever, they'll make up for that by having pets and thinking it's the same thing. And that, I understand that. I get it. And then people who have kids think that they're better than everybody else because it's hard to have kids and they've had to go through some
troubles. I don't think I'm better. I just
troubles.
Think it's stupid to say that you understand the experience of being a parent because you have a cat.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry, but you really do have a problem. If you think that you can relate in any way, like I it's one of the worst conversations you have as a parent. And I'm not one of those parents who goes around banging on about my kids all the time. Oh, it's so hard. Oh, and lecturing people and making out like you're worth less than me because you haven't got kids. I don't give a shit. Like I have plenty of friends who don't have kids and I don't think less of them. I don't think I'm a better human being, nothing. But if they say, honestly, if they say with the hand on their heart, yes, no, I absolutely love my cat in the same way that you love your kids. I'm sorry, but you cannot. It's impossible. And you if you have kids and then can still say that, then I think you're insane. So it doesn't work either way. If you haven't ever had kids, you don't know what it's like. If you do have kids and you still say, yeah, the order of love in my family goes little Timmy, little Tina, and then Mr. Fluffles. Mr. Fluffles is number one. Love him more than anything. I'm like, you're a fucking crazy person.
But
it's impossible.
I think for people who don't have kids or have chosen not to have kids for whatever reason, their animals are their kids, and they
absolutely
are, they are
and those are the people
case,
like I mean in some of those cases I can understand that, like if there's just no possibility of having children, but having
absolutely.
That those mothering or fathering or parental I should say instincts and wanting to like have something that you can pour that love into, sort of thing.
Sure.
Fuck yeah, I understand it, but it's still not the same thing. I get what you're saying as well. Yeah.
I think what happens is that gets deflected onto you, though, because you're then supposed to treat your pets the same way they treat their pet kids. We obviously live in this age of humanism where, you know, the human is the big priority in our society, you know, at the expense of everything else, at the expense of the planet, at the expense of, you know, the billion chickens or 20 billion chickens, or how many we eat every year. It's insane.
I eat a billion myself. So
Flax ate that many just over the last 2 weeks. So
I watched this documentary on Netflix that I'd been told not to watch by a bunch of people. Like everyone was like, don't watch it. It's really upsetting. And I was like, okay. I won't. And so I didn't. And then like about a week ago, I was like, actually, why am I not? Since when did I not watch something based on someone telling me? Okay, the only other thing I haven't watched is The Human Centipede. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, don't watch that.
I kind of, do you know what I mean? Like, but that's a feels like fair enough. But everything
it's
else.
It's just terrible.
I haven't even heard of This Human Centipede. What is it?
It's a movie.
Are you serious?
About
where... You know, you're joking.
No, I've never heard of it. I mean, explain it
You've
to...
You've heard of it.
I might have, but it doesn't ring any bells
right
now.
So The Human Centipede is a horror movie.
Let's see if he can guess, P-Flash, what it's about.
All right. Go on. It's a horror movie.
Tell me the plot of The Human Centipede. Sips, go.
All right. It's so a man starts rolling down a hill and gathers other men that stick to him into a big ball.
He's not
of
a
men.
Human pill bug or a human snowball.
Right, okay.
All right. What if I told you that The Human Centipede is the result of an experiment by an evil scientist.
Right. So it's kind of like The Fly, but it's a man who has fucking a million legs and crawls around under your skirting boards.
I'd love to watch
love
all
that.
Of these.
I love
all right,
that.
So
yeah.
I'm going to give you more detail until you get the plot.
Okay.
All right. What if I told you that more than one person is involved in this experiment?
Right. So, okay, so it's like that episode of Simpsons with Lisa's Petri dish, and there's like a little world like inside, and like the, so this man can make like people into like what are, look like little insects, and he can make them like go through mazes and stuff.
All right, what if it was less sci-fi than that and was more the sort of surgery you would see in, say, a garage?
Right, so it's kind of like a Frankenstein, but with insect parts instead of like bolts and
no insects involved.
No insects are involved. That's
does
a
it have anything
point.
To do whatsoever with centipedes?
Only no. Vaguely.
Is he attaching multiple people together?
Yes.
Oh wow!
By the mouth to ass.
Mouth to okay. Mouth to ass. Now we're talking. This sounds great.
So the person at the front has the only mouth that's not attached to an
is this
arse.
An adult horror film? Like, is it? Is...
No, it's for
very
the kids.
Much.
Absolutely.
Oh,
for
it's
the
not
kids.
A sexy one.
It's no, there's no sex in it whatsoever.
It's not a sexy one. No. Oh.
I mean, unless you are really, really into shitting in people's mouths.
That had never even crossed my mind. But actually, now you mention it,
there's some
that
sick
makes so much sense.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been watching a lot of ass to mouth. Recently, so like I think that would fit in with like my recent
but it would
consumption
be
of media.
Arse to mouth to arse to mouth.
Nice.
That would be because it's a three person centipede.
Oh, it's only three. Oh, I envisioned like hundreds of people like in this.
No, just three.
Oh, right.
Well, the nutrition gets less and less, and they can't make it that far.
Yeah,
that's right. Part of the experiment.
He did it with his three dogs, first of all, centipeded them. He peed them.
All right. So he was. So the idea is that they. The food
everyone.
Goes in one side and then makes its way down the chain, but obviously the last guy gets like the worst fucking deal. So what does he do? Just sew their mouths to like the
okay. He stitches them up. So they come around from the surgery and they're stitched to the other guy's arse.
I'd be coming around so too. Like, jeez. That's
there's a hot. Dude. There's a dude and then a girl in the middle and then a dude at the back.
Right.
I think. And the guy at the front was like, He has to eat because he's starving. So he feels the poop coming. He's like, I'm really sorry. I'm so sorry. Like apologizing. It's horrible. It is horrible.
It's awful.
Yeah, that's alarming.
That's
like,
a genuinely awful idea, something to consider. Just genuinely bad. But on the other hand, this movie I watched is called Don't Fuck With Cats. It's like a documentary.
Oh, I heard about that one. Yeah, I've heard about that
watch
one.
Watch a lot of this stuff. Yeah. I watch a lot of like murder mysteries and sort of stuff of detective-y stuff and how people got caught and things.
Well, this is like an internet sleuthing thing, right? And the person that they caught was active on the internet as well.
Yeah, so this guy had been like posting videos about him sort of hurting cats. Some of them, obviously, there's some little bit of footage of some of them, and it's quite unpleasant, obviously, because no one wants to see a little cat being hurt or whatever. But at the same time, we routinely just watch, you know, humans kill each other and chop each other up and do all sorts of horrible stuff to each other, don't we? Like every
centipede themselves and...
And some cats see that on TV and then they go out and hurt other cats.
Right.
Stop cat on cat violence.
This is the big
violence.
Problem, I see.
Thank you. In 2020, that's going to be our Triforce campaign.
Yeah.
Stop cat on cat violence.
Yeah.
Anyway, I didn't think it was all that bad, actually. But what it did make me realise was... A little bit of my vegetarian-y, vegan-y trigger. I was triggered,
right?
From the point of view of kind of just being... I was kind of angry because people were so uptight about little cats being hurt, but they don't give a shit about stuffing their gobs full of like really cheaply made meat.
Well,
I
mean, nobody really sees or chooses to see the process of that. But like a slaughterhouse is like an abuse of like obviously, but like this is somebody who's showing signs of being like a sociopath, which is very alarming as well, right?
Yeah,
like,
I mean, he clearly
could see that from a mile away and think, okay, well, next thing he'll be fucking like, you know,
make it getting worse,
gunning people down in the shopping mall or something.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
I mean, like, obviously killing humans is also a warning sign that you're a psychopath.
Of course.
But killing cats is like the prerequisite for that. And it feels like, cruelty and casual animal cruelty is this thing which is just part of our world. Like, pet shops, you know, are still a thing, and puppy farms and all of these things, you know, cheaply sourced and smuggled in pets,
right,
and
but
animals.
People don't care about
people not looking after their pets properly. Like,
people don't care about people. Like, it's easy to be sympathetic for a mistreated animal because animals are innocent by their nature. They don't act with malice, or not many of them do. My fucking cat sometimes does, but you know, generally speaking, they're very chill, and they live for survival and instinct, and you don't think that they're plotting to really fuck people over. They don't have the same evil in them that people do. They have a more natural, like, nothing evil when a bigger bird eats a smaller bird. It's just doing what it does.
Yeah, I think that was the argument that's given to me as well. And also that, you know, cats are pets. We don't eat cats. They're separate. And maybe because they're malicious and evil and thoughtful. And
well, I think some countries eat cats, though.
Yeah, they do in China, for sure. Yeah. You see them if you go to the street markets, especially in sort of more rural China, you'll see them just hanging up, like you know, when you get, if you've ever been to Chinatown, you walk around, you'll see in the window they hang loads of ducks, right? They do that in some parts of China. You'll see cats instead. They're like skinned and cooked or ready to cook. Look,
I mean,
at
their
delicious
attitude
cat.
Towards animals is even worse than anything.
Yeah, you just
else,
eat anything. Really. They'll fucking eat anything. I mean, you know, but that comes from their history.
Yeah,
the history of, like, there's been starvation in China for fucking such a long time that, yeah, cat's fucking delicious when you're starving, and then it becomes a thing, you know?
Yeah, even if you're centipeded up, you're starving, yeah. You'd eat, like, you peed it up.
Peed it up.
Man, what if you were centipeded to a cat's ass? Like, I wouldn't want it. I would not want to eat cat shit. Like, I think I think cat shit is
I've
worse
seen
than
the shit that, well, then again, a dog's
dog
ass.
Dog shit's
pretty
bad,
bad
too, yeah.
Oh. Dog. Honestly, I've been picking up dog poop for the last 2 months.
It's gross.
Because now we've got our dog, right?
And I could eat that.
It's not too bad. Put some whipped cream on it. No, it's disgusting. Yeah, it's gross, but it's like, I don't know why I find it more objectionable than the shit that came out of my kids. Like, the shit that came out of my kids was way more disgusting, especially when they were little babies. It was fucking gross. And sometimes it's all up their back and fucking everywhere. Yeah. You got to get them in the shower and clean shit off. And they're sick everywhere and everything. It's like, ugh. But you just kind of get on with it. But with a dog or a cat, you're like, eh. Even though it's just there, you just pick it up with a little bag in the bin. No problem.
Yeah.
But it grosses me out. The smell is much worse than human shit. It must be some big psychological thing.
It's dangerous too. Like, you know, people with dogs, when they walk them in the park and stuff and they shit, like, even if they pick the shit up, if there's like a smear of shit left over...
I'm sorry, everyone.
That can be really dangerous. Like, if a kid fucking lands in it or something,
it's bad for the kid's eyes.
You can go
blind if it ever gets in a kid's eyes. Yeah, yeah. There's like little.
You got to be really careful. Yeah, there's all sorts of shit. Like, and cat shit especially is very, very dangerous, very toxic.
Yeah, you can get toxoplasmosis.
Yeah,
that is it.
According to my sources, aka the movie Trainspotting.
Right.
Then it's real bad.
Sorry about this, everyone. I was thinking it was going to be a nice.
What are you apologizing for? They know what they came here for. They know what they came here for. This is what it is.
I didn't do anything. I haven't done anything for weeks. Like, I've just been sitting around, like, doing dad stuff. I got a real tree this year for Christmas, though. I didn't bring down the artificial tree. I was too lazy to get it out of the attic.
What, so you had to you drove across to a Christmas tree place?
No, I went to B&Q. They just had them there.
Oh, right.
We got one from my kid's school. Has like a tree sale to raise money for the school and stuff.
Yeah.
But we only got a small one because we had to raise it up.
Oh.
Because of the puppy. We can't have it on the ground.
Course.
So we had to put it on like a little thing so that she couldn't get to it because she fucking... anything. Like, when I'm walking the kids to school, bring the dog, she loves to say hello to all the other kids at the school and all the other dogs on the walk, and she, you know, she does a poo and all the rest of it. And, you know, you got to take them for a walk in the morning. But if she sees anything on the ground, she's picking that up and she's carrying it with her until I get her to drop it. So if she sees a stick that's like a mile long, she's picking that up. She's trying to carry it along.
Nice.
If she sees like a cigarette butt, she's picking that up. And you got to open her mouth and drag it out. She found an old sock and she fucking ran ahead. Like she's on the lead. Lead is maximum. She like runs and grabs this sock and she's trying to make a break for it. Like this is like the best find she's ever had on this walk. Because holy shit. Because every time I'm unloading the tumble dryer now, she's waiting for me to drop a sock and she'll grab it and run off to the other side of the room and hide under the sofa. She's just chewing on this sock. Even though she has a million chew toys.
Yeah.
Do you reckon it's like fucking when everything's new, when you're like a little kid or a baby, you know, you take like your kid to the zoo or whatever. And, you know, there's like a lion and a giraffe and all this shit. But all they're interested in is like the Peppa Pig ride at the entrance or the or the fucking or the digger in the street outside. Do you remember? Or the guy with the pneumatic hammer.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Yeah. That's what it's like because everything's new, right?
Yeah.
But actually, the animals and stuff, they've already seen those all in the books. They're boring.
Fucking
already boring.
Can't put it in your mouth. Who cares? That's pretty much the way kids think of things.
Because your dog's quite young, right? So everything's new. Do you reckon she's going to get over the sock thing? Or is that going to be
I don't think dogs ever do. I think they're just like...
Do you reckon that's like a sign of a sociopath as well?
No, she's just simple.
Yeah, I think that's it. I think they are just simple. They don't really progress past a certain point. You could train them and stuff like that. But like usually like however they are as like personality-wise doesn't change much. Like they're, you know... Like, I had a dog, and, like, he's fucking always, always, always looking for food. Like, that, like, just instinctively, that's all they do, right? So, like, if he had some sense that, like, some food was being prepared or something, he would just be sitting there waiting for something to fall on the ground. Even if it was, like, scalding hot, he'd be, like, crying, eating, like, fucking burning hot dogs that fell on the floor or something. Like, you know what I mean? It's just, they're crazy. They're crazy.
Anyway, imagine, like, so let's just make a story, right? You and P-Flax have moved in together.
Okay. We're going to make it. We're making a story now. Nice. Okay. We've moved
in. It's in a parallel world. You two have moved in together.
An evil scientist has sewed Flax's mouth to my asshole.
No.
Whoa, I don't want to be so dear asshole.
And now
asshole.
He's looking for a third person to get involved. So he finds Lewis. He beckons Lewis over to his house of the promise of riveting discussions on alchemy or whatever. So Lewis, of course, says, yeah, great.
Oh, fuck. Okay, no, sure. I've invited you two in. And no, which one's going to be the front? No. So you two have moved in together. You're living together
in a
town called Buttermere in Cumbria. Okay. And you've taken your lovely dog, your lovely doggo out.
Charlie
are we,
and Theo.
Are we a couple?
You're a couple, right. You've taken your dog.
Sips and I are lovers.
No kids, yeah.
Are we willing to spend 96 hours doing a wait around for the dogs after they go missing?
Well, this is what I'm going to ask. Right. Yeah,
I'll do anything that my husband Sips wants to do. I'm very, you know.
Well, you're going out for a walk with your lovely pooch. What's the name of your pooch?
Agnes.
Porsche.
Agnes. What a name. The name of my gran, my 96-year-old gran. See, it comes around.
It comes around.
Apparently the name Headley is becoming popular again as well. That's like a
Deadly Headley.
That's a real 1920s name, isn't
it? I wanted a human name. I think it's funnier. And it's just better than I think it's demeaning to call a dog Mr. Fluffles.
Man, it's 2020. You should have just called her Steve.
Could have done. Or Dave.
Well, it's Agnes. Right.
Also, it's appropriate because she's my nan's name, because she's so wrinkly. She looks a bit like my nan with all
she is very wrinkly. Just like your nan.
Anyway, so you're out on Red Pike, which is like a little moor, I guess, in near Cumbria.
Right.
It's a thick fog.
Okay.
And Agnes, she scampers away from you. It's chasing a sock. She smells a sock, disappears into the fog. What's happening? Right. What are you doing? Give me your reactions.
I'm calling, Aggie. And if she doesn't come back, I get one of the kids. I say, go up the hill and see if you can find Aggie.
Well, Sips is
I've
with
got
you.
My my Fitbit.
Also, you don't have
I've
any kids.
I've got my wireless AirPods, and I'm listening to, I don't know.
Gucci Gang.
Yeah, Gucci Gang, really loud. So I haven't noticed that anything.
So he's busy. I'm waving my arms at Sips. Yeah. Ugh, he never listens anymore.
I'm vibing out on my
All right, so the dog ran up the hill. Into the fog?
Yeah, well, it ran into the fog. You don't even know
How big is this hill?
Quite big, yeah.
How thick is the fog?
Well, sometimes they call that mountain rescue. Thog's very thick. Thick fog. It's
the
thog.
Thog is
the
thick.
The thog with the thick.
You can taste
it. So am I thinking, Or am I thinking that if I went into this fog, I would get lost? Would I get lost in the fog?
Oh, yeah. You'd be lost like the dog as well, and then we'd have to lure you
back. What if you entered the fog and emerged on the other side, and there you were? You found yourself in Narnia all of a sudden.
Oh, wow.
Fuck, there's a lion there. And you're like, boring. Body diggers.
Do you guys do any ass to mouth here, or can I just leave? It goes back
well,
into the
I
fog.
Guess,
I need to get back
we
home.
We call the dog a load and try and get some food and tempt her back. She doesn't come back after, like, I don't know, I'd give it a good few hours. I'd hope for the fog to clear.
Right.
Right.
If it doesn't clear, it's like, shit, we got to go home.
It's dark.
What can I do? The
dark.
Dog's gone. I mean, that's it. We've lost the dog. And then I guess we'd go home.
No.
Come back the next day, try and find her, bring some extra treats that she likes and stuff. And
I think most people that have dogs are well-versed in a different types of bacon, right? Like, you bring bacon treats with you and stuff everywhere you go when you have a dog too.
You bring stuff with
so
you.
So in my backpack, I just have some strips of bacon so we can light a campfire, cook up that bacon, dog will be back in 2 seconds, just like the sausage people did. That's a good idea. The smell of food.
Now you know how to lure back.
Now you know how
dog.
To get them back.
You know, you just got to have the right.
It's like
Steve Irwin
with survival tips or whatever, or fucking who's that guy who goes out and fucking eats shit. Yeah, him. See, he's
not
like
I'm not even saying the name of the other so-called survival expert, because he shall not be named here. Ray Mears is
Ray
the
Mears
survival
is the,
expert, not
the only one.
He who shall not be named. Begins
eating grubs out of a fucking log.
Yeah, but makes a mockery of the idea of proper survival and wilderness. I will not speak his name.
Are these guys all like FX, like SAS or Royal Marines
and
stuff?
No, Ray Mears is just a lad who has studied
Right, okay.
He can build a canoe out of like a fucking tampon and everything. And the dude's fucking genius.
Because I've been watching, my wife started watching this like, you know, the one that was on Channel 4, the SAS one, Who Dares Wins or whatever.
Oh, you're tough enough.
Yeah, the one where like they start with like 25 people and they whittle it down to like, because it has like a low acceptance rate or whatever. It's pretty interesting, actually.
The dropout rate for the SAS is the highest of any special forces in the world.
Yeah, it looks nuts, it's though. I mean, hard. Fuck, they got to do a lot of hiking and stuff. After one hike, I'd be like, you know what? This isn't for me.
Fuck this.
I wanted to infiltrate bases, not go on hikes.
He's disappeared into the fog. So get the vegan sausages and start cooking them. He'll come right back.
Open the Mountain Dew.
Form a human centipede.
Sprinkling Cheeto dust on the rocks. He'll be back in no time.
Oh, fucking hell. Just blowing like magic orange dust into the wind.
Just emerge from the fog. Oh, anybody's got some Cheetos?
I remember fucking SAS. Seriously, because when I was in cadets, there was one camp that we were every year, which was the SAS camp. And it was like the one which everyone was terrified of, because we were like a load of 15, 16-year-old nerds.
Where was it? Where did you go? Because we used to go to an army camp near Minehead. Because I was also in the cadets at school. I was in we had three sections, you know, the Army, Navy, Air Force. They were all three. And it was a lot of kids in it.
Yeah, we only had one combined force. But I remember SAS camp being an absolute, just a hellish weekend of
Did you have
discomfort?
CS gas training, like tear gas training? Oh, we had that at army camp. So we went in with the gas masks on in the room. They filled it with tear gas. And we had to drink some water through the little tube that comes out of the gas mask to show that you don't have to take the gas mask off to have a drink. Then we had to lift up our gas mask, eat a crisp, and put the mask back on to show that just you could hold your breath and eat a crisp and then put the mask back on and you'd be all right.
Standard training. What kind of crisp was it?
It was just a ready-soiled crisp. And then at the end, we all had to line up in the room. They open the door, and then you take your mask off. You have to say your name, your rank, and like what school
serial
you go to.
Number.
And then they let you out. And when the moment the oxygen hits your face.
Flex! Cadet! 114! Do I get my crisp now?
And then once the oxygen hits your face, that's it. That's your ass. It was horrible.
I never did. I was in, I never went to Scouts, but I did Cubs, like the one before Scouts. You know, you had like Beavers, Cubs. And so I was in Cubs, and Cubs, you had these like fucking stupid ass long sleeve, like tight shirts. I don't know if you remember the gray ones.
Yeah, they were tight, right?
And then you'd have to fucking sew those stupid ass badges on the sleeve and on your scarf.
I can tell you
stuff.
Really loved it.
Oh, man.
Put the stupid fucking shirt on.
You know what? You know what
badges.
It was like? It was like World of Warcraft is now, right? like you log in and you play, like Lewis knows what I'm talking about because he complains about this all the time. You log in and there's some fucking track pant wearing sweat lord with his fucking all of his achievements and his fucking achievement armors and mounts and stuff, and there you are with like fucking the vanilla like clown gear, no achievements, nothing,
and you can't even like see how do you get to the point where he has got to that standard.
Yeah,
how has he got like 69 badges on,
and you just know that he goes home and his parents love him and stuff, and you, and then meanwhile you're just like, oh fuck, I don't have any badges.
it's not this, right? His parents clearly love him, obviously, but like I think the other, it's like the way it is, it's a little bit like not playing World of Warcraft, it's like playing Fallout Shelter or something, or where you've got like your character and the parents are playing the kid's character, right? They're like, the kid is our character and we're gonna, because they're the ones sewing the fucking badges on and forcing him to do stuff, yeah, and like reading the manual and all the shit, because cubs are like 7 years old. Do you know what I mean?
No, they're not. Like, that's the fucking beaver.
There was like
thing.
The easy ones, right? Like sewing,
Cub Scouts are
helping
really
your
young.
Grandma across the road and stuff. Like there were badges like for like easy stuff, but like
8 and 10.
These guys always had like the fucking like outlandish ones, like, you know, fucking go to Disney World in Florida. Okay, fine. You win. You've got the badge for that one. I've never been. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it was always some dumb shit like that, you know, like it was always something like, you know, you fucking badge master would turn up and he'd have his box all fucking painted perfectly and he'd have a million badges and his stupid fucking scarf was covered in badges and stuff and his dad,
you know,
was
for
like,
someone who hates it, you sure are jealous of all those
his
badges.
Dad was like a volunteer, you know, all the fucking people like the scout masters or whatever you called them had those fucking stupid Jungle Book names and stuff.
Arcala.
Yeah, and like, yep. And I was just at the back smoking and, you know, fucking like, you know, trying to pick up
at
chicks.
At 9.
Look, there's no girls there.
No, you fucking were.
Yeah, I was like 9.
Too cool for this shit. I don't even want a badge. I got this smoker's badge. Look at that. And I got the fucking pussy slayer badge on this side.
I remember one week I was like, okay, yeah, I'm gonna really work hard and get some badges. I got like 6 badges and I was like, oh, fuck, awesome. Okay, like I'm starting my collection of badges here. And then I turned up and there's just like this guy that had like fucking like 75 badges. I was like, oh, well, fuck this. I'm like, I'm done.
I was the fucking head cub of my cub
Jesus.
Troop.
Jesus.
The senior sixer.
You were the fucking badge master.
I was the badge guy.
Jesus.
I was the badge That's guy. Disgusting. I had a lot of badges. I went to cubs every week. Because the church, right, that we had that had it in, like all churches, is actually just a fucking disgusting front.
For badge collecting.
For badging. Right, they make out,
the
oh yeah,
people in the church,
we let the cubs use our hall for free because we're good. But if you want to keep that hall, you better turn up at church on Sunday.
Yeah.
Because that's all they fucking care about, right? Is squeezing people into their church because that'll fool their omnipotent God. He'll suddenly think, oh, this church is very popular. Like he's some senile old man who's up there just sort of barely in charge of his own bladder, let alone, you know, the universe and everything. So God is going to be fooled when you drag a bunch of kids reluctantly to church and plonk them in the back row. God's fooled. We've got a full church here, God. Look at all these happy kids looking at their watches and desperate to go
and
home.
And now we will sing hymn number 114. Hail thou once sellotape one's ass to another man's mouth.
I got the badge.
The Lord
for that.
Said thou shalt not pee.
Guess what badge I got this weekend, guys? I made a human centipede with my dad, my brother.
I was sewing badges on and I thought, hey, what if I stitched his mouth to my asshole? And then I got a friend of his and stitched
and
his mouth.
You know what? I got another badge for shitting in his mouth and I got another badge for, you know, fuck off with your badges.
When I sewed the badge to my sleeve, I ate it and then shed it into his mouth. He pulled it out, sewed it into his arm, ate it, shed it into the other guy's mouth. He pulled it out, sewed it on that shitty badge.
Yep, that's Cub Scouts for you.
Gross.
Yeah, holy shit. That's
it. But so, because I went every Sunday, my mom was like, we got at church on Sunday. I was like, I don't want to go. She was like, you got to go. We can't let the cubs down. I was like, can't let the cubs down. I swore a promise, an oath.
Man. Did you both regularly attend church as a kid?
Yeah, yeah.
Every Sunday.
Every Sunday for like years.
Fuck. Yeah, me too.
I never did. Yeah, my mom and dad took me to church like maybe twice, I think, and that was it.
My mom is not religious.
The way you are. You should let God into your
life. She is an atheist. But we went to church to support the Cub Scouts. Me too. And then when I was younger, a lot of my friends were religious. They had all kinds of cool youth groups they'd go to with the church. So I would go to church, because if you went to the church enough times, you could go to the youth group and all the rest of it. It's all a con. See, it's all just a fucking con.
I tried to take my kids to church, like, recently, like, maybe 2 years ago or something. And fuck, they hated it. Like, it was just, we can't go again. Like, the first time we were like, we're going to go to church. And they're like, all right.
Sunday school. That's why. They have Sunday school for the kids. Yeah.
Why did you go?
It's supposed to be like a fun activity day.
Well, it was like more like a community thing, you know? Like, they were doing this thing for like around, I think it was like 2 years ago. It was like kind of like autumn. And they were doing like a food drive. And they did like a
Harvest Festival.
Yeah. Harvest Festival. That's the one. Yeah. So we were like, okay, cool. We've got like a bunch of like food and we'll get some more stuff and let's take it. And like, it might be fun for the kids. There might be stuff for them to do there. And then they can see what it's like to like sit in on a like, you know, mass or whatever they had and stuff. And, fuck me, they hated it. Like, it was just too boring, I think. Like,
well, no, I mean, it is. It's like this ritualized weird thing for adults, and it's supposed to be so. It's a different thing for everyone. It's for people who have real problems. The kids don't have problems. Like, the kids don't want to ask divine power to pray for their injured joints or their brother.
Me and my wife, we don't really have problems either. Actually, the only problem we had was that we decided to go to church that one time, and that was a bit of a problem. So
yeah, I mean, I used to go to Sunday school, which was like held in a little sort of shack next to the church. And, you know, it was fine. It was just like an activity thing to do in the mornings. You'd meet a different crowd of people. You'd be taught God stuff. And it wasn't too bad. Like, I remember, though, have I ever told you about my Santa theory about this? I probably have. I found out that Santa wasn't real about the same time I was able. I realized that God probably wasn't real too.
Right.
Like there was like at the same at the very
what a end, day. What a day is, by the way.
The day I became
double
a man.
Whammy.
I looked down. I noticed one hair on my balls at the time as well.
So obviously, I found out the Santa wasn't real, and I don't know how old I was. Probably about 7 or 8 or something like this. And I then obviously went to Sunday school, and it was still very fresh in my mind. Okay, like, you know, I was like very shocked at this Santa lie that I'd been fed for a long time. And there were all these guys trying to teach me about Jesus. And at that point, I was just like, and God and stuff. And this sort of man with a beard who had a lot of parallels to Santa. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? He's like an old, gray-bearded, wise man. There's no evidence that he ever existed. He somehow got all these crazy magical powers, like being able to go to everyone's house and deliver all the presents. Where did he get them from? I don't know. Even at that age, I was questioning Santa. I was like, how does Santa operate? And they're just like, oh, it's magic. And obviously, I was aware that magic wasn't real. It was all trickery and not real. And so I also like I linked that to God. And I was like, well, look, if God is an old bearded man and he's magic, he's clearly not real either. And I wonder whether the rise of Santa has caused the downfall of people believing in God. Is that?
Well, God doesn't visit your house every year and give you all of the junk that you've ever wanted.
No, but he knows if you've been naughty and he knows if you've been good.
Which is a very godlike thing to do.
I think that's a very interesting theory, Lewis.
I think appeasing Santa yearly is more achievable than a lifetime of appeasing God. You know what I mean?
Listen, to appease God, you just have to. You can do whatever the fuck you want. You just have
that's
to go tell
true. That's
a priest.
That's the exact opposite of the message of the Bible.
You have to go and tell a priest and confess.
No, that's only
and then he
Catholic.
Gives you. He lets you off. That's literally what it is.
All right, first of all, there are mortal sins. There are mortal sins there's no coming back from. The priest will be like, I'm sorry, buddy, I can't help you. And he pushes a button and the fucking confession booth tips up and you fall out.
It's like a portaloo.
Yeah, he pushes a button, the bottom of it opens up and you disappear into hell. So there are definitely sins you can't be forgiven for, all right? You can ask for forgiveness, maybe God can forgive you, but the priest's like, hey, buddy, it's out of my hands. You'll have to wait till judgment day and see what they say then.
Yeah.
That's the only way. I mean, the priest can give you, you know, if you wanked on your fucking cousin's underpants or something. I don't know.
Wow.
That might be forgivable.
Right.
It's not a specific memory. Trust me, I don't have any cousins.
How is that even a sin? That's not even, I don't even know what's a sin anymore.
No, you know, listen.
Is that a sin?
Well, because it's not in the Ten Commandments.
Is wanking on your cousin's underpants a sin? I don't think it is.
You know what I like about, the thing I like about Santa is that he's simple, right? Like, nobody speaks on behalf of Santa because with Santa, it's just like, be good all year.
There's no Santa priest.
Yeah, be good all year.
Well, yeah,
and
but
he'll bring,
very vague.
You some presents, right? But with God,
there's no one making money off Santa.
Everybody speaks for God or feels like they're some sort of conduit to God or whatever. The worst ones are people like multiple murderers who are like on death row, and all of a sudden they've like become born again Christians and they found God and they're looking forward to like his sanctuary and stuff. And like, I don't understand how it works, but fuck me, you killed like 15 people. I don't think there's any sanctuary for you there. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't matter how much you say it. Like, I think you're out of the running. I don't think you're a contender.
Like the idea, though. But if you like the idea that people can redeem themselves, especially if they did something like, you know, like a 15-year-old boy, I don't know, who gets in with a bad crowd and joins a gang and accidentally shoots a gun and accidentally kills someone with it. I like the idea that he can be redeemed and won't, you know, even, you know, and will go on to, you know, he doesn't have to
become Santa Claus.
He can become the next Santa Claus.
Yes.
Yeah. Or whatever. Like, yeah. I have hope that people are good and not that there's
no,
a God.
No, but like, you know, somebody like, you know, somebody who is like, yeah, like a victim of their circumstances, sure, but then goes on to like do some really, really nasty premeditated shit, like beyond rehabilitation.
Yeah, like strangling a cat or sewing people's ass to mouth.
You can't become a born again Christian, for Christ's sake. Like, it's not how it works. Like, what the fuck? You condemned yourself when you did all that nasty shit. Like, there's no coming back.
Yeah.
Like, no, nobody fucking
believes
you. But the
thing is, the church is desperate. They'll take it.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Yeah. Well, this guy's high profile. He might be able to spread the good word.
Oh, God.
From behind bars.
Thank you, everyone. That is a podcast. We got to stop.
Covered a wide range of subjects.
Man, did we ever.
But we're back. We're back on a, back with a
we're
bang.
Back.
We're back in full force, whether you like it or not.
Yeah. Eat it.
You may not agree with any of the things we've said. We're very all over the place.
Feel angry, there's helplines available. I don't know the numbers for them. Maybe just like 1-800 ass to mouth or something. I don't know.
Maybe fucking post about it on Twitter that you didn't like it. I thought Chancellor's post was very offensive today. Lewis was pushing his vegan agenda. They were very, very anti-Christian. They clearly worship Satan. And I encourage all of you to pray for them.
Yeah.
So
on that note, hail Satan, and we'll see you guys next
Satan.
Week. Love you lots, and thanks for listening, and bye.
All right,
bye.
Goodbye.